When I was in secular work, I enjoyed boating, and that's a picture of what our boat looked like, similar to that. I didn't have a picture of the actual boat because Beth wasn't there to dig out the pictures for me. I have no idea where they're at. They're packed somewhere. Sometimes I would go out on my boat by myself, and that wasn't any fun. You know, it'd be fun for a little while, but then it wasn't really any fun after that. Sometimes I would go and I'd be washing my boat or taking care of it or something like that, and it might be early on Saturday morning, and Beth was in bed and the kids were in bed and things like that, and that wasn't any fun. You know, you would think it would be, you know. Here you've got your boat and you like to go boating and all that, but without people it just wasn't any fun. And I learned at that point in my life that the best things in life aren't the things we have to pay for. They're the things that are free. And that's what this lesson is about this morning. I'm going to talk about some things that life, that money can't buy. The first thing is I want to talk about the fact that money cannot buy beauty. And first of all, as we talk about this, as we read from Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 2, and we won't read there again, is that the Lord is beautiful. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. And they're speaking of Jesus Christ as he came as the branch of God. And we think, in addition to that, of the things that he did and the resulting work, and that is the church today. Jesus is beautiful and the church is beautiful. The church is a chaste virgin, the household of God, the habitation of God in the Spirit. The church is beautiful. And we can't take any amount of money and we can't buy the church. We can't buy a relationship with the church, and we can't buy a relationship with Jesus Christ. As is true, you can buy relationships with men upon the earth and other organizations upon the earth, but not with Jesus Christ and not with the church. As we think about beauty, we think about the fact that physical beauty passes away. In James 1 verse 11, for the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. The beauty that we as human beings have in all of our pursuits, whether it's boating or whether it's doing something else, these all perish. The beauty of the earth. The beauty of the earth. Who can purchase the beauty of the earth? And sometimes I think about, you know, I want to go do something. You know, I want to go to the movies, and I can get in almost addicted with going to the movies. I want to go to the movies. I want to go to the movies. But that's not true beauty. True beauty is looking out of the window and seeing God's creation. True beauty is going to the beach and watching the sunset. As the waves are rolling in, it's not going to some man-made thing like a movie or something like that. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the nations. Money cannot buy the beauty of the earth. And talk about people. Human beauty is the inner person. Be turning your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And is this the way we look at it? Beauty is the inner person. Outer beauty fades away. And some try to enhance the outer beauty. I don't know about you. With people who have surgery, plastic surgery, to try to make themselves more beautiful. But Beth and I will go somewhere sometimes, maybe be at a restaurant, and a lot of beautiful people are there. And I can just tell, oftentimes, that individuals have used surgery to try to make themselves more beautiful and to retain beauty. Before we read 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, I want to tell you about Charles William Eliot, former president of Harvard University. He had a birthmark on his face, and this greatly disturbed him. And there was nothing that could be done about it surgically. His mother finally gave him this advice. My son, it is not possible for you to get rid of that hardship, that birthmark that you think makes you so ugly. But it is possible for you, with God's help, to grow a mind and soul so big that people will forget what your face looks like. I thought that was good advice. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry and putting on dresses. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. How many times do we look at someone and say, you know, that person is not good looking? We may not know the person. How many times do we go and we say, you know, that person is ugly? Or maybe we think it if we don't say it. And we don't know that person. We don't know the spirit of that person. In God's eyes, what is he looking at? Is he looking at the spirit or the outward appearance? And in our eyes, what should we be focused upon? The outer external beauty only? Or more importantly, the inner person? And how about someone who may be just really ugly? Are we afraid to be seen with that person? Are we afraid to be a friend of that person? Because we're making our judgment based on the outward instead of the inward. No, you cannot buy with money an inwardly attractive person. There is no surgery for the inner person other than the Word of God and the great physician, Jesus Christ. Think about this perspective of life. Beauty cannot be purchased. But let's talk about happiness for just a moment. And I wrote a series of two articles. The first one is in our bulletin today. Happiness, fulfillment, contentment cannot be purchased with money. Dennis Holy, author of Are You Happy, reports that only 20% of Americans say that they're happy. Now that tells us something, doesn't it? That people are looking for the wrong things for happiness. As Solomon in Ecclesiastes, he tried to buy happiness and you cannot buy it. If your happiness comes from going to the movies or going to the store or shopping, you're not happy because it cannot be bought. Elvis Presley, 6 weeks before he died, a reporter asked Elvis Presley, Elvis, when you first started playing music, you said you wanted to be rich, famous, and happy. Are you happy? He says, I'm lonely. I'm lonely. Happiness cannot be purchased. Turn your Bibles with me over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And I know you know this scripture, but I want to point something out very important to you this morning. James chapter 1 and beginning in verse 2. And you know how the scripture goes. You're talking about various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And it's verse 4, let endurance have its perfect result. But I want you to notice the very beginning of verse 2. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. When you fall into these trials, consider it all joy. Now this is happiness. To be encountering these trials, knowing the good that it's going to bring. To the rest of the world, they're sad, they're depressed. Oh, woe is me, my life is so bad, I'll never be happy. And that's not the way it is with you and I. Our happiness is in the trials. Count it all joy when we have the trials, the testing of our faith, and remember the very difficult things going on with the brethren here, chapter 5. They would go to work every day, and instead of being paid as they should have been, their boss was withholding their wages, stealing from them. They would work all day long, expecting to go home, buy something to eat for their children, and their children would have to starve because they were being robbed. And James says, count it all joy. Because happiness is not in money. Happiness is not in food. Happiness is not in anything physical. Abraham Lincoln said, most people are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. And I think he's right with that. Happiness results from devoting ourselves to God. So turn your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 for just a moment. Another scripture that I know you're very familiar with, but I want us to look at it just briefly. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. This is happiness. It's not being elevated by some sense of wealth. You know, it's interesting that as we're entering into another very difficult time in our country, and many people are seeing their values of their homes sink. They're seeing their retirement, some vanish away, and it's sinking and it's melting away. And people are so sad. Gas prices are up. It's more expensive. And you know, we've been through this before, and we'll be through it again. Probably if there's going to be another Great Depression, some are calling for another depression in our day and age, the 2000s, the 2010s. And people are not happy as they used to be just a few years ago. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and let Him exalt us, casting our cares, our anxieties on Him. This is happiness. It's not how much our homes are worth. It's not what kind of car we have. It's not how big our portfolio is or retirement is. It's nothing such as that. Totally different from the rest of the world. Happiness cannot be bought. Remember the Beatitudes. Jesus says, these are the happy people. Those who are gentle, they shall inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be satisfied, they'll be filled. Those who are merciful, they'll receive mercy. Those who are pure in heart, they'll see God. Those who are peacemakers, they'll be called sons of God. Those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, they're the happy people. But is that the way the world looks at it? No. The world believes happiness can be bought, but it's not true. That's why only 20% say that they're happy. And think about this as we go on just a moment to the next point. Anyone who isn't happy today can become happy if they'll only live the way God commands. The secret to happiness is obey God, trust in Him, cast your cares upon Him. Happiness cannot be purchased. It is a gift from God. Think about that. Let's talk about love for just a moment, because love cannot be purchased. Love cannot be purchased. Money can't buy love. Almost half of them, the Americans who are rich say that they're unhappy in marriage, a study found. What's worse, more than that say they've been unfaithful in the last 3 years. That's 50% of the rich people trying, I guess, to buy love. And it cannot be bought. They're not satisfied. They're not happy. And half of them in the last 3 years are guilty of fornication. True love results from devotion to God. Many scriptures we could read this morning, but we're not going to take a lot of time with that. Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. To love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Love cannot be purchased. Love is the result of our commitment to God, that He loves us, that we love Him, and as a result of that, we love our fellow man. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. The world doesn't think like this. We as Christians, we love our enemies. If they're hungry, we feed them. They're thirsty, we give them a drink. We love our enemies. Romans chapter 12, verse 20. We love our enemies. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, love their husbands and subject themselves freely to their husbands. This is love. The world thinks that's crazy. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29, husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church. This is love. Women, you cannot purchase that. You cannot purchase that kind of love for a man to love you as Christ loved the church and to give himself up for you. You can't buy that. And if you try, you'll fail. Love must be given and love must be received. Children love their parents. They obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's the opposite view of the world today. The world teaches children to be disobedient to their parents and to disrespect their parents. That's not what we do as Christians. Fathers and parents bring up and discipline their children in the Lord.
opposite view of the world. True love is a sacrificial and giving love. And I want us to remind ourselves again, a scripture you're very familiar with, but please turn your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And I want us to remind ourselves of this love. Love is sacrificial. It's something that must be given. You cannot buy it. Beginning in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Love cannot be bought. There's no amount of money that could pay Jesus Christ to go to the cross. There's no amount of money that you can pay or I can pay to earn our salvation or to buy our salvation. Love must be given freely, and it cannot be purchased. Love must be received. Our love, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, is to love God and to keep His commandments. And I want you to notice the end of verse 3. Our attitude is His commandments are not burdensome. Now think about that. How big of a burden was it to get up this morning, to get ready and to come to church? How big of a burden was it last night or throughout the week to get your Bible class ready, to study for your Bible class? How big of a burden was that? We all have to fight it, don't we? We all have to keep ourselves motivated and positive, because when we have the right attitude, because when we love God the way that we should, it's not a burden to us. John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. John chapter 14, verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. Love is a free gift. And we all decide whether or not to love or not. And we can never try to buy it. Young ladies, young men, if anyone ever tries to buy your love, you know it's not love they're trying to buy. Love cannot be purchased. You can't buy it. When we love others, it changes their lives and it changes our lives. I want to tell you a story just very briefly about Ted Stollard and his teacher, Miss Thompson. Ted grew up, he had a very difficult time. He was not a handsome young boy. He was sloppy in appearance, expressionless, unattractive. The kids at school liked to give him a hard time. Even his teacher, she enjoyed grading his papers and putting the big red X's on there. If the teacher would have paid attention to his record, she would have known something was wrong. First grade, Ted shows promise with his work and attitude, but has a poor home situation. Second grade, Ted could do better. His mother is seriously ill. He receives little help from home. Third grade, Ted is a good boy but too serious. He is a slow learner. His mother died this year. Fourth grade, Ted is very slow but well behaved. His father shows no interest whatsoever. Christmas time came and kids brought gifts for the teacher. She unwrapped them one by one, and Ted's gift was in just a brown wrapper that was taped together with Scotch tape. And he had some old perfume that didn't smell very nice. And he had a bracelet there that was missing some of the stones. The kids in the class, they snickered. They made fun of him. His teacher, though, put a little bit of that cologne on and put on the bracelet. And she showed everyone. When school was over, Ted came back to his teacher, Miss Thompson, and said that he was so happy she liked the present. Miss Thompson felt bad that day because of the way she had treated him. She prayed. She asked God to forgive her and to change her attitude. The next day, the children came back, and she had a totally different attitude. She had changed. She was committing to loving each and every child, even Ted. Before long, and not surprisingly, Ted began to show a lot of improvement, and he began to excel. Time came that he left the class and He graduated from school. Miss Thompson heard nothing from him for a long time. Then one day she received a note. "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know I will be graduating second in my class. Love, Ted." 4 years later, another note arrived. "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I will be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know. The university has not been very easy, but I liked it. Love, Ted." Then another 4 years later, "Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stollard, MD. What about that? I wanted you to be the first to know. I am getting married next month, the 27th to be exact. I want you to come and sit where my mother would sit if she were alive. You are the only family I have. Dad died last year." Miss Thompson went to that wedding and she sat where Tom's mother would have sat. I want us to understand that loving one individual can change them for a lifetime, and it can change us for a lifetime also. I want you to realize that it was some 19 years later that Ted had graduated, and he reflected back upon the one teacher years ago in probably about fifth grade who changed his life because she decided to love him. He could not buy her love, but she decided to give it. And it changed her life as well as his. Lastly, I want to conclude our time together by reflecting on the fact that we cannot buy salvation, as you well know. And I'm not going to turn to any passages this morning and read them as we talk about this because we all know it very well. Remember Romans chapter 3, verse 24, that we're justified, that it's a gift of God's grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And remember Romans chapter 5, verse 17, that people who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, they will reign in life through Christ Jesus. And remember Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The gift is free, but we have to receive it. Some years ago, and Dawn must have been 4 or 5 years old as I was preparing a lesson on this topic, and I said, I'm just going to do an experiment. And I know I've told you this story before, but it's a very good illustration. And I got a dollar bill out of my wallet, and I set it up on my desk, and I asked Dawn to come over here. And I said, Dawn, I want to give you this dollar bill. And well, she was excited about that, and she said, okay. I said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to knock it on the floor, and I want you to bend down and pick it up. So I knocked it on the floor. She bent down. She picked it up. And she was happy to get this dollar. And I asked her this question. I said, Dawn, did I give you that dollar, or did you earn it? She said, no, Daddy, you gave it to me. I said, that proves the point. I gave her the dollar, but she had to do something to get it. It's just like all of us. I'm sure you like getting presents, be on your birthday or some other holiday or something such as that. And someone brings you a present and a beautiful box just sitting there. And you have to do something to receive it, don't you? You have to open the package. If you don't open the package, you'll never receive the present. It'll sit there forever, and it's just as if you never received it. Yes, it was still a gift. Yes, it's still a present, but you had to do something to receive it. And the same is true for you and I today. Salvation is a gift, but we have to do something to receive it. And what is that? We have to obey the Lord. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. That Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. We must receive it. The gift of salvation is free. There's nothing we can do to earn it. We've been redeemed. That means purchased, bought back with the blood of Jesus Christ. It is He, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who bore our sins upon the cross in His body. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do to purchase it or to earn it. The best things can't be bought. They must be received. And let me rephrase that. The best thing, singular, cannot be bought. It can only be received. And that's salvation. Money can't buy beauty. Money can't buy happiness or love or eternal life. The neat thing about all this is that God wants to give these to each of us and everyone in the world and even more without any cost at all. But yet we must receive the gifts by obeying Jesus Christ. This is only possible because He died on the cross for you and I. Jesus paid the price. Yeah, don't get me wrong now. The price had to be paid. He paid the price for you. You get it for free. You just have to receive it. Receive by obeying Him. Let's get your song books out, and we have the invitation song. The free gift is still available. It's available to you this morning. Perhaps you're not a Christian and you need to become a Christian. You can do that and you'll be saved. It'll be a free gift to you. Yes, you have to receive it. Perhaps you're sitting in the audience today and maybe you don't have some of the other gifts God wants to give to you. Maybe you're not happy as God wants you to be. Maybe you don't look out in the world and see all the beauty that's around and appreciate God so much and love living life. Maybe love is not in your life the way that it ought to be. Maybe you're not changing the lives of other people the way that you could, and that all can change today. It all can change today. If you're not a Christian, obey Him. Believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ as the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you are a Christian but not receiving these other things in your life, change so that you can. If we can help you this morning, won't you step to the front now as we stand and sing.